Bible with you this morning. We are back in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and we'll be reading together verses 1 through 5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for our time this morning that we get to be here and bless your name, Father, to bring you glory through our fellowship with one another, through the studying of your word, through singing praises and to your name, Father. I just ask a blessing now as we continue on, as Pastor Craig brings the message this morning from your word. I just pray, Lord, that it would penetrate and just stir within our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Continuing on in the book of Psalms, there is a song that I actually hadn't heard in quite a long time. In fact, hadn't really thought about it until I came to Psalm 103. But it's a song that I remember singing back in elementary school, and I'm pretty certain that it is not sung in public schools anymore because it's called "God Bless America." It was written by Irving Berlin during the First World War, and it was written really as a prayer to God for his guidance in our endeavors and really his protection of America as we follow his guidance. In fact, I have seen that phrase, "God bless America," on everything from hats to shirts to billboards and bumper stickers. But here's the lyrics to the song, and it's really a simple song, a simple prayer. It's, "God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home." A simple song, a simple prayer, really from America to God, that he would guide us in our endeavors and stand by us, protect us as we follow his guidance. But how is America doing in following his guidance right now? Not so good. Not so good. In fact, several years ago, I saw a "God Bless America" bumper sticker that someone had taken, and they cut it up into pieces and restuck it on their bumper so that it said, "America, bless God." You see, he understood where the problem was. Because he knew that we as a nation, we as the church in this nation, we need to honor and praise God, and we must conform to his will if we ever, ever expect to enjoy his best again. And while God has not made any promises to America as a nation, while he has already blessed believers with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, God does bless believers that are walking in his ways, okay? And when enough do, it could change any nation. It could change the course of any nation. It did ours at one time. Romans 8:28 says, All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, the problem I think in America today is a personal one. It's a personal one. And Psalm 103, it is a song of King David that encourages Israel to bless the Lord. In fact, in this entire prayerful song, there is not a single request made to God. Okay? It is a song solely written to bless Him, to express love and honor toward Him. It's all about God. It's all about how Israel as a nation can bless Him. And as a result, we too can learn how. But therefore, for obvious reasons, we're not going to look at this psalm from a national perspective, but a personal one. A personal one, because blessing the Lord begins right here inside of us. And Psalm 103 gives to us at least three ways that we can bless our Lord. And that's what we're going to look at. That's our subject this morning, is bless the Lord. Psalm 103 tells us how, and even King David begins from a personal perspective. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." How do we bless God? Well, the first way that King David gives us here, the first way to do it is to remember His benefits. Don't forget them. Remember His benefits. Remember how He has blessed us in the past. We just sang the song, Count Your Blessings, all right? Here's a list that I found online. We in this country, here are some blessings that we can count, all right? Here they are. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 1 million who will not survive this week. If you have never experience the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pains of starvation, you are more blessed than 500 million people in the world. If you can attend church without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in a dish someplace, you're among the top 8% wealthiest people. If your parents are still alive and still married, you are very rare, even in the United States. You see, when we count our blessings and name them one by one, not only will we be surprised what the Lord has done, but it honors Him. It blesses Him when we count those things and thank Him for it. I'm sure that you've noticed that some of the greatest honor and praise ever given to people is at their funeral. All of a sudden, now that they're dead, people seem to come out of the woodwork and say wonderful things about them. Imagine how blessed and honored they would have been had they heard those things while they were alive. Well, the only reason I tell you that is we serve a living God. Our God is alive, and one of the best ways to bless Him is to remember and thank Him for His benefits. David, in these first five verses, lists actually about six of them. Some big ones, though. Let's read verses 3-5. He says, "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." David here remembers his benefits, and there are about six of them that he lists. First of all, forgiveness. Forgiveness. The fact that we are sinful people who do sinful things that are not only contrary to God's nature and his standards, but they offend him. We do that. We offend our God who made us. And then he chooses to not count those things against our relationship with him. Can you believe that? That's forgiveness. He treats us as we place our faith in him and get that relationship. When we become a child of his, he treats us as though we never even did those things. That's justification. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But forgiveness is one of those benefits. Healing, physical healing. Healing all our diseases, as our passage says. I want you to know that does not mean that every believer will be healed of every disease. It means that God can heal all kinds of diseases. There's nothing out there that is beyond his healing power if he wills to heal it. Redemption is another benefit that David lists. Redemption actually means to buy back. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages or price for sin is death. In other words, the cost that man must pay for his sin is death. And in that passage, it's actually talking about what the Bible calls the second death, which is separation from God forever. Okay, that is the price of sin. But God would pay and has paid that price for us. So that even if we may die physically, we will be redeemed, bought back from death because we placed our faith in him and the price that he paid. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." In John 6:40, Jesus said that everyone who believes in the Son may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In Colossians 1:14, it says, "In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood." Romans 6:23 again, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Forgiveness, healing, redemption, and then the fourth benefit David lists is love. Our passage says we are crowned with his loving kindness and tender mercies. And the root meaning of that word crown is really to be encircled or encompassed. And therefore, one of the benefits of being a child of God is we are encircled. We are surrounded by God's love and mercy. It's like a hedge of protection around us. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 says, "There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which we now know today is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a benefit. What a benefit. The fifth benefit he lists in these verses here is satisfaction. Our psalm says that God will supply all of our needs. The fact that he will give us everything that we need when we need it in accord with what he wants for us. Everything that he gives us is for our good. And then lastly, the sixth benefit Paul lists and at the end there of verse 5 is renewal. Renewal. And I believe that the last benefit is really the result of the first five, because forgiveness renews, healing renews, redemption renews. Love, satisfaction renews. Because of God's renewing benefits toward us, no matter how we may have messed up, we can again soar like eagles. We can be renewed. Isaiah 40:31, the classic verse on this. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One way to bless the Lord is to remember His benefits. Don't take these things for granted. In fact, count your blessings. Count them often, daily. I believe sometimes one of the biggest reasons that we get depressed or even discouraged in life, it's not because of the trial. While we will have trials, it's because we're not remembering how good our God has been to us in the past. We're not remembering. So one of the ways, one of the best ways that we can bless the Lord is to remember. Remember those benefits. The second way this morning is to revere His compassion. Revere His compassion. Our passage is going to use the word fear. But what it's talking about is revering, respecting what how much He loves us. Look at verses 6 through 18. It says, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. But He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to the children's children, to such as keep His covenant and to those who remember His commandments and do them." Now, for Israel, as King David is writing this as a prayer to God, actually thanking Him for His blessing, really that all Israel would do this. For Israel, their enjoyment of the promised land. Now, the promised land is there, but their enjoyment of the promised land is conditioned upon obedience. But even here, right here, we learn that even when they were disobedient, God was merciful. Even when they didn't obey His commands, He was compassionate to them, and He treated them in a manner that was infinitely better than they deserved. Now, I don't know about you, but this instantly becomes personal for me. Because I know the sins that I've committed. I know how ugly my heart can be sometimes. I know the evil thoughts that arise in my head. I know the wicked deeds that I have done both publicly and in secret. And I know that God knows them too. Yet, the Lord is merciful. And he's gracious to me. He withholds the punishment that I truly deserve. And instead, get this, he actually blesses me in a manner. He blesses you in a manner that is infinitely better than we deserve. Praise the Lord. Is that incredible or what? Now, three times in this verse, we find that word fear. And again, it's talking less about being afraid and more about esteeming God, revering God because of His compassion toward us, because of how He lovingly treats us. And in these verses that we just read, we learn a few things. Here they are. We learn, first of all, that the Lord is just. Not only will He give those who have not placed their faith in Him for redemption from sin what they deserve, but He's also just to the oppressed. He was to Moses and Israel as they were oppressed in slavery in Egypt, and He freed them. And He's just to us as He frees us from the bondage and oppression of sin. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. God justifies us. The Lord is also merciful. And I love the way these verses word this. It actually describes the distance that God has removed our sins from us. And it does it in some really neat ways. How far above the earth are the heavens? The infinite. They go on forever. They're immeasurable. That is the extent of God's mercy toward us. Infinite. How far is the east from the west? Think about this. That is an interesting thing about this world that we live in. If you walk north in a straight line, there will come a point where you crest the North Pole and you are now walking south. However, and I'll just tell you, the two poles are roughly 12,500 miles apart. However, if you walk due east in a straight line, there will never come a time when you are walking west. East is infinitely, infinitely distant from the west, and that is how far our God has removed our sins from us. And just as a side note about this book, the Bible, okay? What we're reading here, these are words that were written several thousand years before man even affirmed that the earth was round. And certainly thousands of years before man knew how the poles worked. But God knew, because He made it. And He wrote these words here as, I believe, in a sense, a confirmation of who He is and who we are before Him. But He's using these two descriptions, these two incredible descriptions of infinity, to let us know just how far the penalty of our sins have been removed from us. While He is grieved by our sin, it says He's slow to anger. While He knows we are guilty, He does not cast accusations. He doesn't even strive or deliberate over our sins and our guilt. And even when He does become angry with our rebellion, it is short-lived and instantly forgiven the instant we ask Him. That's what we have as children of God. That's what we have through placing our faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for our salvation and relationship with God. That's what we have. Verses 8 through 12 there, I'm not going to read them again, but they actually describe a courtroom setting with God as the judge and the prosecuting attorney. He has all of the evidence that he needs to convict us of every single thing we've ever done wrong. But he doesn't. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Why? Because God would give his son to take that punishment for us. In Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, it says, Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, we've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. In Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, it says, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, he says. The third thing we learn here is that the Lord is gracious. He pities and has compassion upon those who know and revere him. He not only withholds our punishment, but he rewards us with grace and compassion because we're dust. Verse 14, it says, For he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. Now, it's not like he forgot, okay? But he's gracious. He's gracious toward us because he, being the maker of our frame, knows exactly what we are made of. He knows that we are weak and we are perishable. Verses 15 and 16. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. We are perishable. We are dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. And now you're going to have that song stuck in your head the rest of the day. But we are dust, we are perishable, but here's the most important part. We're precious. We are precious to him. And that is why God is just, merciful, and gracious toward us. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's compassion. That is compassion. And the revering or esteeming of that compassion is one of the ways that we can bless our Lord. Thank him for that. Don't take those things for granted. Praise him and be grateful for it, because we would be lost without it. Remember his benefits, revere his compassion, and then lastly this morning, recognize his sovereignty. Recognize his sovereignty. Verses 19 through the end of the psalm. It says, The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One day, the great Italian Renaissance artist, Michelangelo, he happened to overhear a group of people admiring and talking about his sculpture, the Pietà, And that sculpture is a statue of Christ on his mother's knee after his death on the cross. However, one man in the group attributed the work to another sculptor. Well, much to the humiliation of Michelangelo, who took a great amount of pride in his work, he returned to the sculptor after dark that evening and quickly carved his name in it so that would never occur again. Well, in our passage, it is King David who wanted that no one would ever mistake who the real king is. And in true humility, he points to the Lord and the Lord alone. And he commands that all creation recognize his sovereignty, that all creation recognize he is the only real king. He says, every messenger who delivers his word, praise him. Praise him. And I think he's speaking to the angels there who have delivered God's messages and words through the centuries. And he commands them, you bless the Lord. Every minister who does his will, you praise him. He's speaking to those heavenly hosts who carry out his orders and commands them, bless only the Lord. And then everything made that does his work, praise him. And I think this includes and perhaps emphasizes you and I. You and I. And David here commands us, bless the Lord. King David wanted that no one would ever mistake who the real king is. And in true humility, he points to the Lord alone and commands that all creation praise him. Bless him. And I pray, my prayer for us this morning, okay, is that would be true of us. That when people see us, when people hear us, even as people get to know us really well, and especially as people get to know us really well, that there would be no doubt as they watch us, no doubt in their mind as to who our King is. For that's a way that we can bless the Lord. I fear that American pride in our Maker has simply become American pride in ourselves. And the world is seeing that right now. Because we as a nation, I think we've forgotten the Lord's benefits. We as a nation have despised the Lord's compassion. We as a nation have denied the Lord's sovereignty. And we will not make America great again unless we as the church make God great again in our hearts. While God has not made any promises to America, the problem in America is a personal one today. The problem in the church is a personal one today. It's an individual. And so we have seen in this psalm some ways to bless the Lord rather than being part of the problem. But I want to point out one last observation as we close here. And it's one I think that's going to either make or break all of the rest of the things that we've looked at today. And it's all the way back in verse 1. So peek at verse 1 just for a minute. David there says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And the words I want to key in on here is all that is within me. All of the above, everything that we've looked at this morning should be done with all, every fiber of strength, mind, and soul that is within us. All the above should be done with all that is within me. And with all that is within me, I will remember the Lord's benefits. Even in those tough times, even in those trials, I will count my blessings. I will remember how good He has been to me. With all that is within me, I will remember the Lord's benefits. With all that is within me, I will revere the Lord's compassion. I will not take lightly His love and His mercy and His grace toward me. It was free to me, but it was very, very costly to Him. So I will not take the Lord's compassion lightly. And then with all that is within me, I will recognize the Lord's sovereignty. You see, my life, your life, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, your life is not your own. It was bought at a price. It is for Him to do with as He pleases, wills, and works. And until that is true of the church, it can't be true of any nation. In Mark 12, verse 30, Jesus reminds us of an Old Testament command from Deuteronomy chapter 5. He says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And Jesus says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. I pray with humble hearts. I pray, Lord, that through this psalm that you laid upon the heart of King David to write, Lord, that it would impact us from the inside out. That we would recognize your sovereignty in our lives, the fact that you are in complete control, and whatever happens in our life is in your hands. And truly, it's your business. It's not ours. We belong to you, and we thank you for that this morning. Father, we do pray for and thank you for your compassion toward us. And I pray, Father, that we would not ever take your love and your grace and your mercy for us for granted. Lord, every time we sin, every time we come to a crossroads and do what we want rather than what you want, we are not revering your compassion. We're not even recognizing your sovereignty. So, Father, with all our heart, with all that is within us, I pray that we would do these things, that we would also remember your benefits. In those times of darkness in our life, Lord, those times when perhaps we are in the midst of a trial, that you would spark within our heart a remembrance, that we would look back on how you have brought us through every other trial that we encountered. Even the trial of being separated from you, you provided in that. And I pray, Lord, that we would never take that for granted. Thank you for this morning. Thank you again, Lord, just for this time of year and the way you work in hearts, especially this time of year. Lord, work in ours. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.